101 Kenosha Racine, 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WPR News from Gateway Technical College.
I tend to think of safety and freedom as something one population has at the expense of another.
Then you encounter people and they say, where are you from? And you say, I'm from Palestine, or I'm Palestinian. And they say, but there is no such thing.
We hear from Palestinians in the U.S. about what it means to face erasure.
I mean, my concerns have drastically changed in the span of 2 to 3 hours, and I can only imagine how they will continue to escalate or become heightened.
Guitars, there's a lot of CNC, there's laser engraving, there's all kinds of advanced manufacturing that just makes it more interesting and something that can be really fun to do. And it's very easy to tie into so many different educational disciplines. I mean, we got math, we got music, we got science, we got engineering. There's even, the idea of finish work. So there's some chemistry. It's all over the board. Steve, what do you think? You've seen us over there.
No, and that's what we really enjoy about the guitar aspect of this. When we first looked into developing a curriculum or the concept of guitar building, it was for the engineering. And we were running it with the electrical engineering. Hmm. And the concept was that all the components that they were talking about actually fed into it. And that's one of the things that we're huge on at the SC Johnson IMET Center there in Sturtevant, is the application of engineering, the application of knowledge, the application of concepts. And guitar was perfect because it incorporated a bunch of different aspects into one project.
Yeah, and joining us today, I have a special guest, Jordan Zachariah. Jordan has actually worked with me designing and building a guitar. Jordan, tell us a little about yourself. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, I'm Jordan. I go to Waukesha County Technical College, and
the other guys, right? Yeah.
I built a guitar. It was very cool. Like Steve said, it was a lot of aspects of like everything being put together. There's designing it, like the CNC, wiring everything, although we had like a plug together kit for the pickup, so there wasn't a whole lot of wiring, but still figuring out how everything had to go together, putting the right holes in the guitar so everything would fit, and then of course finishing. Right. Finishing, we paid someone to do.
So question for you, what was the inspiration behind your design? Because it's a very unique design that you came up with.
The inspiration behind the design for my guitar, it's very spiky. there's no pictures on a podcast, but it's very spiky. The inspiration was I just kind of looked up guitar designs online, and I found these two. One, I can't remember what it was called, but it was this V kind of shape, but it was sharper, and it had this little hook on the bottom, and I incorporated those two spikes and the hook into the design. And I also found a picture of this guitar shaped like a bat wing, and it had, I don't know what you'd call it, it had this little cutout on the side and another spike that I incorporated into my guitar as well.
Yeah, it was. I remember you bringing the design. You were doing some of the CAD work, which is critical for us. And I know, were you doing a lot of Fusion at the time, or were you Fusion 360?
I've never used Fusion.
Okay, because the integration of CAD into what you're doing is so essential.
And sure.
Yeah, if you're not doing software, get out there and use a bunch. There's a bunch of free different things that you can use.
Onshape is really good.
Onshape, yeah, that's a cloud-based one as well.
And that was what was really cool about the design that you came up with, was the fact that you had, it wasn't just one little thing that you found on the internet. You took inspiration from multiple different things and combined them into a very unique and very dynamic art piece that's also a guitar.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to combine the art and the engineering. That's like, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, and I'll go into a little bit about where this came from. Originally, there was a program out of Ohio. I think it was Ohio State, so I guess don't quote me on that. But it was called STEM Guitar Building, and their website is guitarbuilding.org, and you can check it out. And they had 12 different lessons. It was a full class based around building a guitar. And I know Gateway sent people to a week-long, where they learned how to do all of the lessons involved with it, so it would have an actual engineering instructor who was doing all these lessons, and then you could build from kits with those. And At Gateway right now in the Fab Lab, we offer two different ways to build. You can literally come in and start with wood and build a guitar, which is amazing, and it just blows your mind. And then you can actually buy the kits where you pick it up. There is customizing, and you're learning a lot about the mechanics of putting your neck together and, you know, what a truss rod does and how to radius your fretboard. So we basically then brought it back to Gateway, and ours evolved to the point where we realized we could take all of these parts and we could reverse engineer and we could improve the parts. So we started doing a lot more CNC, and we started doing a lot more laser engraving. And we actually had our tool and die apprentices coming in, helping us with hardware. They'd look at something like the bridge and say, well, we could probably make it ourselves if we did this. And they were helping me with some of the tooling. And I'll give you a quick for instance. When you put a neck on a guitar, you use these wood screws. And the wood screws tend to wear out very quickly. So you put your neck on and off two or three times, and the wood screws tend to crack or break. So we figured out ways we could come in and utilize threaded propeller nuts from behind before we put our fretboard down. Then we can use machine screws. So it's been exploration after exploration for us in terms of what are the different programs we can bring in and how can they help us, you know, reverse engineer all these parts. Now, we even went down to, you know, where we got the mahogany too. So and I'm going to, Jordan, I want to ask you how you did when you first started out and you first thought, okay, I'm going to make a guitar. Did it ever occur to you you'd be standing behind a CNC machine and running it to make this thing?
It did not.
So what's your experience with CNC? Can you talk to that a little bit?
Well, the only experience I've had with CNC machines is honestly just building the guitar, unless you count 3D printers, that's a little different. But it was pretty much just building the guitar. I want to say it was straightforward. I mean, there's a little bit of a learning curve to it, but I had help, so
right,
it made it easier. The software, what was it, Aspire?
We used, Vectric software, Aspire. And
which
we were able to bring in. Your original drawing wasn't in Aspire, right?
I think my original drawing, I don't know what my original drawing was in. I might have done it on paper. I don't remember. It's been a while.
Right. But then we had to bring it in, and I think Joe was helping us at that time.
Joe was
doing Fusion. And we moved over to Aspire just because of the machines we have run it. So CNC, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this, it's like having a router, and hopefully some of you guys have at least used a hand router, and it's connected to a gantry, and it's basically moved around by a computer. So that makes it very easy to go in, call out a shape, call out a tool path, and carve. So any body that you can get, and the bodies are available in many places. Those of you familiar with different guitar designs are probably familiar with the standards like a Fender or Les Paul, and then Gibson has five or six different bodies that are really popular. Flying Vs are very popular. I can actually go into GrabCAD online and find a model. And then that gives us the ability to play. Now, one of the things the Fab Lab does, and let me just do a little promotion for the Fab Lab here. You can email us if you like what you're hearing and you're interested in getting in touch with us. fablab@gtc.edu.
What was that, John?
Aha, he got it this time. fablab@gtc.edu. Let us know what you think. So,
and can they come down and visit us at the SC Johnson IMET Center?
Yeah, we're in Sturtevant, Wisconsin, and you are welcome. We are open to the public. You can find information about us online. Just search out Gateway Fab Lab. We have a webpage that lists an event calendar.
Jordan, I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you play guitar?
Mm-hmm. Bass guitar.
A bass guitar. All right. So you already had kind of the understanding of the instrument before you decided to try and build one for yourself.
Yeah.
And how did you find out about this Gateway's Fab Lab and the guitar building program?
Well, my dad's known John for a while. And so pretty much through my dad knowing John and the Fab Lab.
Awesome.
Now, another question for you. Now that you made this guitar out of mahogany and was a very, like I said, very unique shape, how was the sound quality compared to the instrument you knew before you came and started building your own guitar?
I really like the sound that it has. It's just a little different. I've got a Schecter, like, Omen Extreme or something, and it's different. I like the sound of both of them, but the one that I built, it's unique. is the best way I have to describe it. I think that might also be just because of how big it is. I'm not really sure, but it's a good sound. I like it. It's just got like kind of a deepness, and it rings a certain way.
Every guitar is going to sound different. If you think of a guitar, it's really just a machine that helps amplify the vibrations when you pluck the strings. So depending on the type of wood you use, the density, how much flexibility is in the wood, every guitar can sound different. With an electric guitar, frequently the pickups do a great deal of the work, so there's a little more flexibility. And Steve and I will get into that when we tried playing with other things. But in the case of Jordan's guitar, it was great because I had an old high school friend whose husband does wood. So he's got a specialty lumber yard, and he had this giant plank of mahogany. It was like 2 inches thick. Beautiful board, you know, just glowed orange. It was wonderful.
I almost felt bad cutting it.
And then we thought, okay, this is going to be perfect for Jordan's project. So I got it through a friend of a friend. Last week, I had the opportunity to visit Hoppy's Urban Tree Lab. Now, Hoppy is a local tree service, and this is kind of one of those really cool eco things where they're salvaging trees from urban landscapes. And if trees go down or they're called in to cut down a tree, instead of just sending it to landfill now, they take it and they plank it out and they put it into kilns and they dry out these giant slabs of wood. And it was an incredibly impressive place. I encourage you to look it up if you have not. The wood lab I went to was in Caledonia, and I just found these giant boards and pretty amazing. So I think a lot of people think you get a board, you carve it, and you have a guitar. I mean, there's a lot about board selection and what you're doing with it and how you're making the neck. But also, and I'm sure, Jordan, this kind of freaked you out too, is you don't start with the wood when you carve. So we start with a giant piece of pink foam because we don't want to trash the wood. So I know on the one we were doing for you, Jordan, we literally had a thing of pink foam right next to the mahogany board. And before we even got close to that mahogany board, we were verifying the tool pass and working.
And we probably went through like 5 pieces of styrofoam as well. Yeah. I've got one of them in the house somewhere. I think there's another one somewhere else.
But that's the whole idea of the concept, because in any engineering application, if you don't know the answer already, that's why we're doing the engineering, because engineers solve problems. And you don't know the solution. That's why you were constantly having to reintegrate and refigure out different problems as you went along, instead of just jumping straight into that wood.
For sure, especially because it was a body design that I've never seen before and I don't think has been made before. You have to figure out exactly where the pickups and the bridge are going to sit based on the neck. So we bought the neck, I think, before we started actually working on it. But like, you have to take all of that into account. So we would cut it out of styrofoam, measure where the pickups go and the distance between it and the neck, and then we'd cut it again after we make edits.
And that was one of the critical concepts of how the Fab Lab developed at the SC Johnson Armament Center for the engineering tech wing, was because of this rapid prototyping concept. We were able to test model these things in different mediums instead of jumping straight to the end product. So that's what we use the 3D printers for small mechanical designs. So we can rapid prototype and get a model of it to see how it functions before we actually produce it in metal. In this case, we're creating it in foam so that we can see how the guitar works before we go to wood. And it follows a really good sound manufacturing process.
And then,
So, all right. So this is like really cool because you're building something cool. I mean, a guitar. But listening to you guys talk, I mean, there's a lot of engineering that goes into it that you're also learning. I mean, when you talk about CNC machines, I mean, that's a, you know, you're learning a skill in a trade while you're building something really cool. So did you learn stuff from building this guitar?
For sure.
Because I know a lot of guitar players, and most guitar players that I know, they put the strings on their guitar, but anytime it comes time for an adjustment, or if you need your action adjusted or anything, they're taking it to someone.
Right.
And I mean, a luthier?
Yes.
Luthier?
Well, they make guitars.
They make guitars, but still, like, it's kind of the same thing, right? Where there's someone that knows more about the guitar than the actual guitar player, so they're... But someone like you, I mean, you probably do all that yourself.
When I need to, yeah. I haven't needed to do anything to it yet, thank goodness.
No, that's great. No, that's great.
So, John, question for you. Are there entities or organizations out there that like or encourage these concepts and have actually already donated to the Fab Lab to promote these things?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Steve. So for the last 4 years, we've received money from Metallica. And we are talking about Metallica, the band. So it's they started a foundation called All Within My Hands. The first year, they took $1 million. They gave it to 10 different technical colleges across the country. And they basically let the technical college generate programs with it. So our first year, it went into telecom and CNC. So literally, Metallica has given over 100 people in our area jobs at this point in time. But it basically paid for people to go to school to learn CNC, to learn telecom. And we've continued the Metallica Scholars Program. We've received money from them now 4 years in a row. So it's a pretty amazing program. What blows my mind about that, too, is it's money coming from someone you wouldn't normally expect to see money going to a technical college for. So in many ways, it's enlightening that a lot of people can start to see, even someone like a rock band can see the importance of technical education in the country.
Now, have you ever done something crazy, like created a guitar for them?
You're leading me right down the path, right? So the first year, we offered to let all of our Metallica scholars build and design guitars. And the first year, we really wanted to say thank you to the band. So we generated a guitar. And the design was, everyone's going, Flying V, Flying V. I'm like, nah, come on. Now, Flying Vs are a little bit too cliche. We're gonna try something different. So I was going for more of a Les Paul footprint. We designed it. It's kind of loosely based on the Enter Sandman disc cover. You know, to me, it looks like blades spinning in space. So there's a lot of input from the class. They come up with the design. We built this beautiful guitar. We inlaid Metallica into it. And then, of course, our president in all his glory is like, let's give it to the foundation. And we're like, okay. So we offered it to the foundation as a thank you. We wanted to send it to the band just to express our gratitude and recognition of them understanding the importance of technical education. And, of course, behind our back, our president went and said, why don't you guys sign it and send it back? So they literally signed this guitar and sent it back for the first time we built one. And now it's on display in IMET Center with all the band signatures on it.
It's so, a cool guitar.
Yeah. I have played it. I do have the keys to the Metallica guitar for the special occasion.
It's enclosed in a key.
And then the second semester did a Flying M, and I think Metallica. No, I couldn't stay away from the Flying V forever, right?
A Flying M.
So they're like, I'm like, all right, we're not doing a V. Come up with something better. And that was designed by one of the women in the CNC program. And so we basically took the Metallica M and kind of extended it into a similar V shape. And that one's on display there as well. And then IT was the next class. And right now, I'm not sure where the classes are. They run different classes based on that funding. So, but it was a really great opportunity to integrate advanced manufacturing into building guitars.
So if you ever get a chance to come out to the SC Johnson IMET Center there in Sturtevant, Wisconsin, it's a really, really cool display up on the second floor that showcases both guitars.
Steve, can anybody come out there from the community and just see this stuff and talk to you guys about what you
offer? Absolutely. That's a great part about the SC Johnson IMET Center. It's open to the public, the Fab Lab is. We have hours that we run different community events, but then we also have open hours. And those get scheduled with John and the Fab Lab, and you can come out and experience any of these things to look at it.
Yeah, and this is the season when you can sign up for a workshop. Kit builds start in another month, depending on when this airs, of course.
You should definitely check it out. The Fab Lab is really cool. There's so much stuff there. I've been down here a lot working on things. It's very fun. Yeah.
And so my time at the Fab Lab, I've seen older folks and younger kids, and I've seen people of all ages. Is there any restriction at all on people that can come and find out about how to be involved there?
If you have super young kids, we encourage parents to be with them. Kids that are under the age of like 6 years old don't understand. They shouldn't, you know, be grabbing equipment and pushing buttons. But no, other than that, we don't really have restrictions in the build workshops. if you're under 12 years old, as long as a parent accompanies you, you can build a guitar. And we find that the younger generations are empowered by the technology, so they just jump right in and they love it. Jordan, were you still in high school when you built your guitar?
Yeah.
All right. And this is maybe an on the side question. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what you're doing now, and is this kind of what happened? You came in and built a guitar and all of a sudden you became interested in...
Well, I kind of had an interest in, like, machines to begin with, but building a guitar definitely helped catapult that into what I'm doing now. And right now I'm working on getting a degree for automation systems technology, which is industrial robotics, pneumatics, hydraulics, PLC programming, et cetera, et cetera. So that kind of set a path that helped me realize that, because I'm also big on art, it helped me realize that you can combine engineering and art and a lot of things. It's just really cool.
Yeah, I wanted to make that a point because this is something that kind of cemented your pathway. And I thought it's a pretty amazing story when you think about it. I know you're interested in animatronics,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is my big interest.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that overlap into animatronics. And the Fab Lab is something that teaches cross-platform. You know, you learn not just one thing when you're in the Fab Lab. You learn how all the different disciplines and all the manufacturing intersects and how to pull what you want. It also teaches you that whole lateral intuitive leap thing, too, where you're problem solving and you're encouraged to look outside of your discipline or outside your field and bring in solutions from. And what better time in our culture when we have the internet and you can just find solutions to almost anything you're doing. And when you're building a guitar, you sometimes need those solutions. I mean, there's so many steps involved, you know, everything from generating a curve, a radius on the fretboard itself, to how the fretboard's glued down, to the truss rod that goes into it. When I first started, I didn't want to get stuck building guitars. I'll be honest, you know, Gateway had the program underway and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be stuck building guitars. It's so cliche. I talked to so many people who do it. But the more I started doing it, the more I realized there was so much there and we hadn't scratched the surface. So we're taking guitars in directions that you might not think about. We've 3D printed a body. And when I 3D print a body, I'll laminate wood over the surface. So it looks like a normal guitar unless you flip it over. And while this workshop goes on, we try to encourage people to see all these different aspects of how they can make something, not just the standard. This year, I'm going to try and make my cardboard guitar because anyone who knows me knows I'm obsessed with cardboard.
Can confirm.
Yeah. And then we also looked at civil. So, Steve, tell us about last year's project.
So last year we attempted our first attempt at doing the and that's what's huge about the SC Johnson IMET Center, is the fusion of education and application. So learning this stuff and then applying it. So we were going through and we actually attempted our first attempt at building a concrete guitar. And it's funny because coming from different tracks, trying to solve the problem, whether it's concrete in terms of the material to be functional and good,
right,
or to be functional and playable. And so we had this huge issue going on, and we tested a couple samples and everything. We made our first attempt,
yeah,
failed horribly, but that was the beautiful part because you learn sometimes more from your failures than you do from your successes. And that's why they're called tests and learning curves. Yeah. And we were able to identify things that went well and things that didn't in the process. And that's where the combination of understanding concrete from one person, understanding guitars from the other person, molding that together and see how that mashup comes out. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think
and
this
so
year's
we're
guitar
looking forward to another one this coming fall.
Yeah, and I think this year's guitar will probably, we've learned so much. Like, we generated a mold and we, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And the mold wasn't just pour the body, it had an insert in it. And if you're familiar with acoustics, like an Ovation, it has a fiberglass shell, which works as the acoustic resonator. So the idea was we're generating this concrete resonator, and then of course we'll build the wood in the neck over it like a conventional guitar. But we were trying to, Steve and I got into the argument, and I don't know anything about concrete, and I'm like, it has to be really thin.
It's very hard to make concrete 1/8 of an inch thick.
he kept going, it's gonna be a 5/8 thick wall. I'm like, nobody's gonna want to play a concrete guitar that weighs 60 pounds. So we actually generated a small shape which mimicked the curvature of the guitar body, and we had a couple of molds where we were testing it at 1/2 inch, 3/8, and 1/4 inch.
Yep.
And we were looking at reinforcement material that went in the concrete so we can get it thin. And what we found to be a real problem was getting the concrete in the mold and getting the concrete to actually press out once we put the plug in. So, and this is something that I was just ignorant about, but Steve knew. So you need to use a tool that generates vibrations and that allows the concrete to pour out of the mold. So when I'm trying to push the plug in, nothing's happening because I'm thinking it's like mud, right? It's going to squeeze out or like jello. And it did not happen at all. It just was like we could not get the plug in. We couldn't get it. So Steve pulled out the tool that they use, which has a metal tip, and there's a small offset in it, which vibrates. The second he put that on, it started coming. It vibrated the concrete, and it just started pouring out of there just like you'd expect, you know, Play-Doh coming through a mold. So,
but the flip side is our mold started coming apart too.
Yeah. So this year's mold will be designed that way. Right. So if there's plywood inserts where we can vibrate, now we can actually generate a much better product and project, I think.
So outside of the attempt at the concrete guitar, do you mostly focus on electric guitars or acoustic guitars or both?
Primarily electric. Acoustic guitars are incredibly hard to build, and there are a lot of elements to balance. So there is the practical reality of how do I get you into Gateway for a couple of hours? How do I get everybody on the CNC machine to carve their body? How do you learn the computer CAD work to design the body? So when you build an acoustic, you literally have to understand elements of woodworking like bending the wood, how to glue it up, and there's special glues for it. And with an electric, you can kind of get away with murder. I mean, I'm sure everyone's seen pictures of people who do like gas can guitars or cigar box guitars. So the concept of a guitar when you're talking about electric, and that's what will allow me to do something like a cardboard guitar. When I say a cardboard guitar, everyone has a picture of a neck with a cardboard box on it and strings, and that's not what I'm going to do at all. I'm going to cut the shapes and then line the shapes up so it forms the body of the guitar, and the actual neck will be built like a stick guitar where it's a through build. The neck lives on the same piece of wood that the bridge and the pickup live on, and then I basically work the cardboard around that. So same is true, but an acoustic instrument requires a lot of special attention to the soundboard on the top. I mean, those things are tuned and braced. So it's an art that was developed over hundreds and hundreds of years. And I think I'm correct in saying no one really knows where guitars came from. But understanding all of the different woodworking elements of building an acoustic makes it exponentially harder than doing an electric.
But the other huge advantage of having the electric guitar is we have a very robust electrical engineering program. And it ties right in with our electrical engineering program in terms of all the different ways that they analyze circuits and all that. This is a real life example of all that. And that's why I like it, having the electric guitar.
Yeah, and we get soldering involved in it. So you get a chance to try and solder, and if you want to play around with the different pickups. But there's Arduino projects now for processing. There was even a famous guy out of Iceland who made a guitar and had a theremin built into the guitar. Oh. Yeah, and he'd play it with distortion. He had it tuned to a chord, and he did it similar to a bass. He only had 3 strings, but he would play the 3 strings tuned to a chord with a slide, and he had quite a bit of gain and distortion on it. But then he'd flip a switch on his guitar and use his hand over the strings.
If somebody's interested in this guitar stuff, where should they look?
Ah, okay. training.gtc.edu is where you can sign up if you're interested in the guitar classes. You can email me at zernj, which is zehrenj, at gtc.edu. I can get you more information. Also, we're there year-round, so if you want to come in and work on projects, you don't necessarily have to wait for a workshop to come in and generate something interesting. And I really appreciate you coming down here, and it's nice to hear it from someone who's actually built a guitar through the program, and you know, we're glad it worked out. Can't wait to hear you playing when you're a giant rock star.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
Doing your animatronics and rocking out.
But even more importantly, the exposure it gave you to encourage you to go the path that you chose.